From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Lynn Neary. This summer, we brought you a story about a young man in Syria. He worked a regular job by day. By night, he was a protester. NPR's Kelly McEvers went undercover in Syria to join him at a protest. Like so many demonstrations sweeping the country, the gathering was attacked by security forces.
Everybody's running down the street. Everybody's running like crazy. Oh, jeez.
At the end of that story, the Syrian activist made a prediction. It was later tweeted to thousands of people. He said, quote, "One day my time is coming. Until the world realizes what's happening in Syria, they will try and get us all." Well, many weeks later, his prediction came true. Kelly McEvers picks up the story from there, and we should warn you, this report contains some disturbing descriptions.
When we first told you this activist's story, we couldn't say his name on the radio. We couldn't even air his voice. We still can't tell you his real name. For now, let's call him Ahmed. One day this fall, Ahmed was on his way to meet another activist. A man approached him from behind.
He grabbed my arm, and then he beat me on my face. I wear glasses. He broke my glasses.
The man shoved Ahmed into a car and took him to a building that houses one of Syria's notorious security services.
And once I stepped down from the car, they closed my eyes with materials like this.
What is that? It's like this blindfold, but it's like sewn together with these really crude stitches, and there's blood on it.
The blood came from what Ahmed calls the welcome beating every detainee gets when he arrives at a detention center. After his welcome beating, Ahmed says they sat him down next to a room where a man was being tortured.
His scream was filling all this space. He was screaming. And after a while, one of the officers come and say, "You are next. You will be there. We advise you to give confessions." I said, "I have nothing to give you."
What they wanted Ahmed to confess was that he had helped organize protests on the ground and online. They wanted him to confess he'd sent video clips of protests to TV channels like Al Jazeera. They wanted his email addresses, Skype names, Facebook, and Twitter logins. Basically, they wanted to prove that he'd committed the crime of being against the government. But Ahmed knew better. He knew what they did to protest leaders. They tortured them until they die. He knew he had to keep quiet. The next round of beatings came from a club that administered electric shocks. Ahmed says his jailers sometimes used the club to shock detainees in the genitals.
Did they threaten to do that to you?
Yes. Back then, I closed my legs and jumped to another corner.
Still, Ahmed didn't talk, so they transferred him to a jail. A dozen young men huddled in each cell, showers once a week, praying not aloud. One night, Ahmed sensed something was different. His jailers administered the usual beatings, but then they threatened to bring in his family. When he still wouldn't talk, they hung him from his wrists, with his feet still touching the floor. They forced him to ingest large amounts of salt. Every 10 minutes, they punched him in the stomach and poured cold water all over his naked body. The next day, they raised his feet off the floor.
So the whole weight of my body was held with my wrists. It was unbearable. I couldn't last more, and I told him I will talk.
He'd spent the night before making a plan. He wanted to give his jailers enough information to stop the torture, but not enough to incriminate other activists. He gave the names of people who'd already been arrested or escaped from Syria. He invented plans for protests that would never happen. It was enough to slow down the torture, but not enough to release him. Later, as sanctions against the Syrian regime increased, authorities began releasing some detainees. The idea was to show the international community the regime was serious about reform. Ahmed was among the released. He arranged his escape from Syria. We can't tell you where he is or what he's doing. He still fears for his friends and family. We can say that sanctions against the Syrian regime continue and that Ahmed is still active in the uprising. As for his ordeal...
This is a must, and I should go through this. This is will help me to explain to my son... to my grandson. I don't know if I will have sons, but this will help me to tell them how much we paid to get our freedom. to let them know that freedom is precious.
Kelly McEvers, NPR News.